How could Zionism be nothing but a farce when its foundations lay in the spiritual connection between the Jew and Eretz Israel, and had expressed itself in the prayers and individual self-sacrifice of millions? In our own times, had not thousands given up wealth and comfort, university studies, brilliant careers, in order to become common laborers in Eretz Israel? Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 179, Catastrophe and Faith. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. We begin today with terrifying, profoundly prescient words said by Jabotinsky in a speech delivered to Polish Jews on Tisha B'Av in 1938. I utilize the translation from the Yiddish provided by the Jabotinsky Institute. Jabotinsky said, quote, "For 3 years I keep addressing you, Jews of Poland, the crown of world Jewry. I keep warning you time and again that the catastrophe is approaching. My hair has turned white and I grew old during all those years because my heart is bleeding for you, dear brethren and sisters, for not seeing that the volcano is about to erupt and spit the fire of destruction. I foresee a terrible vision. There is not much time left to save your life. I know you are too preoccupied and busy with your daily concerns to see it. Listen to my words on the very last moment. For heaven's sake, save your lives, every one of you, as long as there is time, and time is short. And another thing I would like to tell you on this day, the 9th of Av, those who will run away from this catastrophe will have the privilege to live and see this festive moment of great Jewish joy, the rebirth and revival of a Jewish state. I do not know if I will live to see it, but my son will. I believe in this as strongly as I believe that tomorrow the sun will rise. It is my strongest belief." End quote. The speech is so striking in its deep understanding of the terrible danger facing European Jewry. To study the years 1938 to 1945 in the history of the Zionist movement is to read of the movement's betrayal by Britain and of the Zionist movement's desperation as doom descended on European Jewry in the evil incarnate that was Nazi Germany. And yet, as one studies stories of Zionist leaders during this period, one also finds, in the words of Jabotinsky and in the recollections of his protege, faith in the Jewish future. In pondering these years, we will give citations from several scenes and moments. The first is Jabotinsky in 1938, the scene that we have just cited. The second is Parliament in London in 1939, following the infamous White Paper, through which the Chamberlain government announced that Jewish immigration to Mandate Palestine would be sharply curtailed and stopped, with future immigration subject to Arab approval. Speaking in Parliament, Winston Churchill attacked the government position, saying that, quote, "I say quite frankly that I find this a melancholy occasion," end quote. He added that, quote, "I feel bound to vote against the proposals of His Majesty's government," end quote. Churchill also said that, quote, "There is much in this white paper which is alien to the spirit of the Balfour Declaration," end quote, and then specifically emphasized one aspect, saying, quote, "I select the one point upon which there is plainly a breach and repudiation of the Balfour Declaration, the provision that Jewish immigration can be stopped in 5 years' time by the decision of an Arab majority," end quote. Churchill summarized what the white paper meant for him, saying, quote, "There is the end of the vision of the hope of the dream," end quote. With the outbreak of the war, Ben-Gurion, recognizing how the Jewish state could only rise in a world where Nazi Germany had been defeated, famously said that the Zionist movement would fight the war as if there was no white paper and the white paper as if there was no war. In August of 1940, in a Beitar camp in upstate New York, Jabotinsky asked to be taught the Kol Nidre prayer, and then soon after died of a heart attack at the age of 59. His secretary in the United States had been arranging for Jabotinsky to lobby Republican politicians, leading to the placing of Zionist aspirations in the party platform. This young man's name was Benzion Netanyahu. Thousands of miles away from the United States, Jabotinsky's most important protege, Menachem Begin, had been leading Beitar in Poland. He had himself begun arguing to Jabotinsky before the war that what was required was a revolt against British rule in the Holy Land. Finding himself on the Soviet side of the line when the war broke out, he was arrested for Zionist activity by the Soviets, and in 1941 was subjected to interrogation and imprisonment. In one striking scene from his prison memoir, White Nights, Begin describes how the Soviet interrogator argued that Zionism in the Soviet view was so obviously impracticable that the Soviets could not believe that it was actually sincerely embraced. The Soviet interrogator told Begin, quote, Zionism in all its forms is a farce and a deception, a puppet show. It's not true that you aim to set up a Jewish state in Palestine, or that you intend to bring millions of Jews there. Both these aims are utterly impracticable, and the Zionist leaders are perfectly well aware of it. This talk of a state conceals the true purpose of Zionism, which is to divert the Jewish youth from the ranks of the revolution in Europe and put them at the disposal of British imperialism in the Middle East. That's the kernel of Zionism. All the rest is an artificial shell, deliberately made to deceive. As for you, Menachem Wolfovich, either you know the truth and are one of the deliberate deceivers serving Great Britain and the international bourgeoisie, or you're one of the dupes helping to divert the masses from their duty of fighting here. Yes, here against exploitation. In either case, your guilt is heavy indeed. End quote. So the Soviet interrogator said to Menachem Begin. Begin reflected, looking back, quote, I tried to show the error of his contentions to explain that the Jewish urge to return to Eretz Israel was very deep and very real. How could it be a mere camouflage if it had been maintained by Jews for almost 2,000 years, from generation to generation, going back centuries before capitalism and socialism had been dreamt of? How could Zionism be nothing but a farce when its foundations lay in the spiritual connection between the Jew and Eretz Israel and had expressed itself in the prayers and individual self-sacrifice of millions? In our own times, had not thousands given up wealth and comfort, university studies, brilliant careers, in order to become common laborers in Eretz Israel? End quote. Begin put forward these arguments to the Soviet interrogator, but the Soviet interrogator kept replying that, in the Soviet view, Zionism was so obviously impracticable that the Soviets could not believe that Zionism was sincerely maintained by Zionist leadership. Our next scene is Yom Kippur of that year, when Menachem Begin found himself in the Lukishki prison, wondering about the year to come, wondering, as he put it, quote, where would my old father and mother be, and my brother and sister, end quote. At that moment, Begin writes, he remembered the synagogue of Brisk, and he remembered his parents' home. He recited the prayers of Yom Kippur, telling us, quote, as I recited the words sanctified from generation to generation, as I prayed silently, I felt the impenetrable barriers that separated me and those I loved fall away. And Begin adds, the cell vanished, the wall disappeared, and there appeared in all its splendor the great illuminated synagogue and my father's humble dwelling, lit up by love, purity, faith, and the eyes of a loving mother. Kol Nidre night in an NKVD prison, Yom Kippur in Lukishki, even such a night can be a night of solace, even such a day can be a day of identification with all that is good in man's life. End quote. Jewish memory, as I've emphasized many times, can commune across space and time, and that is one of the central sources of Jewish endurance. Begin, as I've described, spoke movingly later in life of how on Yom Kippur he had been taught by his father to recite the Avodah, the liturgy that brought to life the temple in Jerusalem, the liturgy that recalled the scene of the high priest surrounded by the throngs of reverent Israelites atop Mount Moriah. In prison, as Begin recited the Yom Kippur prayers, he remembered that synagogue, and he found himself bound to his parents across time and space. Begin was right to be worried about them. His parents would be murdered by the Nazis, along with his community and so many millions of others in the Jewish world. Yet, Begin's communion with his parents, with the Jews of his hometown, and with Jerusalem, would be made manifest throughout his life, and his life, following this moment, would have a profound impact on Eretz Israel in the years to come. After the Nazi attack on Soviet Russia, Begin was released from prison to serve in the Polish army, and his account of leaving the prison with another Jewish prisoner in 1941, in one of the worst years in Jewish history, gives us, in his words, one small reflection of hope in the Jewish future, as well as a response to his Soviet interrogator. And it is with this passage from Begin's memoir that I end today's episode. Begin wrote, quote, we bundled up our belongings, went through various questionings and registrations, and were then packed into a small black car. There was room for three, perhaps four in the car. We were over a dozen. One man started shouting that he could not breathe. What exaggeration! The human animal is one of the strongest of creatures. He is not easily smothered. The drive in the car was uncomfortable, it is true, but it did not last long. From the prison to the railway station, perhaps 15 minutes. And when the gates of the prison were opened and the car slid out into the deserted street, somebody whispered, this is the beginning of the journey to Eretz Israel. Impracticable faith? Maybe. Yet faith is perhaps stronger than reality. Faith itself creates reality. End quote. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.